Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, peace, health, wellness, and sustainability. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. We're very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Will Tuttle, well known for being the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. And his new book is due to be out this year, Food for Freedom. And he has extensive lectures all around the globe on vegan living. Welcome, Will. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. I'm delighted to be able to join you, and thanks everyone for listening in. It's great to be here.
Well, this is very exciting at this time of year.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's great that the United Nations had this idea of having an International Day of Peace back in 1981 and sort of celebrating that every year since then, and more people get on board and talk about the importance of peace. The problem really is, I think, essentially that we are ignoring the root of the problem, which is our ongoing war against the other living beings on this earth, which we refer to as animals. And every day we're killing literally billions of them, if we include the marine animals.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle. This is part two of our interview. September 21st is declared the International Day of Peace. And October 2nd has been declared the International Day of Nonviolence. And yet, all institutions in mainstream culture worldwide continue to advocate, participate, and support the violence towards those who don't look like us, towards those who don't look like humans, the other animals, in the pharmaceutical laboratories, biomedical laboratories, military laboratories, in the food, quote-unquote, food industry. This has created havoc and suffering on planet Earth. And Dr. Will Tuttle will be discussing more of these concepts. Here's Dr. Will Tuttle.
And they will use any narrative they can to trick us into going along with their plan. And so that's why we have these pandemics and health crises. It's in order to concentrate wealth and power into the hands of a few. That's the only way that it can be done. And so they've created these organizations to escape accountability, philanthropic and corporate and financial corporations. We have these gigantic corporations, as people probably are aware, they're actually asset-holding companies like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street, that, and there's some other ones as well, and UBS, and they have literally trillions of dollars invested in corporations, and they determine the policies of corporations, and they own all the competing corporations. And so we shouldn't think that Pepsi and Coca-Cola and 7-Up are competing. They're owned by the same people. Or that that Apple and Google are competing and Microsoft are competing. They're owned by the same people. And it goes through every industry, the automobile industry, the hotel industry, the food industry. Every industry is the same, the transportation industry. They're all owned by the same people. They're not competing. And so their petroleum is running low. And so they want all the petroleum for themselves, for their private jets, and for the military. Military needs a huge amount of petroleum. And so they're basically forcing everyone onto what they call green energy, which means no, you don't get any petroleum anymore. You're not important enough to have it. We're important. We need it for our private jets and for our military so we can dominate the earth. You get to have electric cars now. Okay, good. So how is everybody going to drive around in an electric car? It's impossible. It's totally ridiculous. It takes way too long to charge up an electric car. There's no way near enough cobalt and lithium and the other rare earth elements that are needed to make the batteries. It's the most environmentally devastating work to mine these things in human slavery. We're building all kinds of windmills and things at a terrible environmental cost. And this is much more polluting and much more damaging to the earth, this so-called green energy, and it will not be energy. There will not be energy for the average person. So that's why they're talking about, the United Nations is talking about green energy and talking about 15-minute cities where you're not allowed to go 15 minutes from where you live. And so we have to understand that this is the equivalent of slavery for humans. What we have done, what we did to cows, what we did to chickens, what we did to sheep and goats and pigs, it's one thing. It's only one thing. You take away their ability to move. You put them inside of a corral or inside of a fenced-in area, and then from there into a cage, and they can't move anywhere. They can't go anywhere. That's called slavery. Or it's called a prison. Well, they're getting us through this hysteria that's completely fraud, and not having and green energy to agree to put ourselves into a prison where we no longer travel, and anyone who questions that is not allowed to speak. So we're taking away our freedom of speech, our freedom of assembly, our freedom of travel, our freedom of bodily autonomy, our freedom in our affairs. Through massive data collection. The United Nations is pushing very hard, just like the World Economic Forum is, to push these two twin agendas of a pandemic and climate change. They do not want healthy people. There's no money in healthy people. When you have people that are healthy, they don't buy drugs and they don't go to the doctor. I haven't been to a doctor in 50 years. This is a whole new thing, this idea that we should all be going to doctors all the time and getting medications all the time and being injected all the time with what? With very toxic substances that come from the slaughter and abuse of animals. I mean, it's so perverse and so destructive. And there's no way anyone could ever go along with it if we weren't continually bombarded with lies and brainwashing to make us afraid of each other and afraid of nature and afraid of these invisible microbes. But the roots of the whole thing is in animal agriculture, because we, each one of us, is like a virus. We're an invisible killer. Every time we go to the store or the restaurant and we take out our wallet and we pay for meat, dairy products, or eggs, we're paying someone to stab an animal. And so we are an invisible killer, and now we're terrified of invisible killers. And so the whole thing resonates psychologically at a very deep level. And so you have a whole population of people who are afraid of nature, afraid of each other, afraid of animals, afraid of microbes, and it all resonates. And it's an educational system that's being imposed, again, by a tiny elite. These people are only a fraction of the population. You have roughly 8,000 people who are the heads of the big banks, the heads of the large corporations, the heads of the large, of the governmental agencies, of the music industry and the media and the military and the intelligence organizations around the world. And those 8,000 people, along with the royalty and the heads of religions and so forth, they basically get together in gatherings. We know that. The World Economic Forum is an obvious case where they fly in on their private jets. 5,000 or 6,000 people come in, and they talk about all these different things they're going to be doing and how they run things. We have the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and the United Nations and the Club of Rome and so forth. And the whole idea is to deceive. If you have such a small percentage, 8,000 people is only 1/10,000th of 1% of the population, and yet they have most of the power and the wealth. I mean, right now it's gotten to the point where the top 1% of the population has twice the wealth of the other 99% of the people living on this earth. And so it's easy for them, quite honestly, to turn that wealth into power. And the main power is narrative control. When you control the narrative, when you control the stories that are in people's minds, that how they explain what's happening in the world, then you've got them totally controlled. So they can have us explaining things like, well, we need to lock down and we need to be very afraid because there's a deadly virus on the way, or we need to all give up our ability to travel anywhere because, gosh, it's getting hotter, isn't it? But climate change is a massive, very complex science, something we don't understand. It's the power of the sun, the power of clouds and water vapor. And we have something going on, which we talked about already here, which is geoengineering, or it's also called chemtrails or solar radiation management. But there's, it's well understood that for decades we've been unleashing programs to manipulate the weather locally and to be able to use geoengineering and the aerosolized nanoparticles of aluminum, barium, and strontium that are sprayed in the skies in conjunction with ionospheric heaters, these massive installations that are on land, and they also have them on ships so they can move them around. And if you just shoot millions of volts to the ionosphere, to the high atmosphere, it's not difficult to create heat domes and to create droughts and to move move weather fronts around to create hurricanes and floods and so forth. And it's a great way to defeat an enemy, to harm an enemy. And so this, and Lyndon Johnson talked about this way back in 1961. He said, he who controls the weather will control the world. And the military has had that as a top priority for decades and developing technologies to do that. And so we have to understand that this is going on, and yet we're being deceived by a narrative of global warming that we have to all give up our ability to travel and our natural rights to travel. And if you give up your right to travel, you're putting yourself into a prison. And we have to understand these things and talk about them and make an effort to understand that the United Nations is the main vehicle for imposing a tyrannical globalist agenda on the population through their Agenda 2030 is the one that's being used. And if you just read the Agenda 2030, they make it sound like sustainable development goals are these wonderful things. But the underlying idea is that it's concentrating power in the hands of fewer and fewer people, and the people that who are controlling this few people, they're unelected officials, technocrats. It's basically moving all the power into the hands of those who are scientists, right? And the scientists are controlled by the bankers in the background. They're the ones controlling it. They're the ones running everything. They're the ones that are determining what gets to be on the media and who gets to be elected president and vice president and senator and congressman, all the way down to the level of the county supervisors. They're all controlled. I mean, the amount of money that is going into these campaigns and the amount of money that's going into the media. I mean, I know media because my father owned a newspaper in Concord, Massachusetts, and Acton, and all around Sudbury, in that area outside Boston. And I grew up in the media in Massachusetts, and I learned and I know in my bones that media is controlled by advertisers. He could never run stories that the advertisers would disagree with. And the big advertisers are these industries, the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, the food industry, the chemical industry, the banking industry, the petroleum industries. These are the industries running things. And like I say, the bankers in the background. So we have to really wake up out of this idea that the United Nations has any kind of benevolent agenda for us. It's like the shepherd. There's an old saying from Africa. The saying is that the sheep are afraid of the wolf, but it is the shepherd who kills them. That's what we have to understand. We're afraid of viruses, but it's the government who is going to kill us, which is run by, I was raised back in the day when we used to think the government kind of cared about us. You know, we created the EPA, we created all these nice organizations to help us. We have to understand that in the last 20 years, 30 years, all of those agencies have been completely captured by the industries and the money they were originally intended to watch over. So we don't have any protection at all. I mean, and the media also. So we have to, at a grassroots level, come together with love and awareness for each other and for animals, and stop our war against animals and nature, and take responsibility for the quality of our own health, and become self-reliant. You know, we should remember what the great Concord philosophers said, Thoreau and Emerson and Alcott. They talked about self-reliance. We should rely on ourselves for grow our own food, and make our own information, and have our own money exchange, and be responsible for our own energy too. As long as things are centralized in the hands of a few, we're going to lose our freedom, and we'll end up like sheep and goats and cows right now are. I mean, are for sure. Our children will be, if we don't pay attention and see the toxic programming that is spewing out of the media to turn us into livestock. And that's happening, and it will happen if we don't rise up.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Tuttle. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for listening to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of the station nor its management. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We're joined by Dr. Will Tuttle in Northern California. We're listening to his song, Chicken Song. We're discussing a vegan initiative for global peace, human freedom, and animal liberation.
Right, yeah, we have to get to the root of the problems if we really want to have peace on this Earth. We need to make peace with nature, with animals especially, before we can make peace with each other. And if we're not willing to stand up against the tyranny that's encroaching, it will take over. So these aren't just intellectual thoughts. This is reality, that our violence towards animals is boomeranging, and our intelligence has been so reduced by all of this, by the educational system, which is only about one thing, which is getting us to obey authorities. We have to question authority. That was the main thing that Thoreau said, and Emerson both said over and over again, that we can only have freedom if we refuse to obey authorities. And the authorities in this case, the medical authorities and the so-called scientific technocratic authorities, they're controlled by actors in the background that want to completely take away our freedom, and we have to understand this very clearly and act with wisdom and connect with our spiritual roots, which are the eternal life that is our true nature. We really need to make an effort to connect at a deep level with our spiritual roots. That's a fundamental thing. So thank you, Marlene, for creating the vehicle for us to talk about these ideas. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle.
Mahatma Gandhi was very smart. He talked about appropriate technology, and he spent an hour every day at a spinning wheel just spinning. He said, you know, we should get back to natural ways of living, connecting with the earth in authentic ways that don't require us to disconnect from nature. I mean, grow our own food. I mean, we right here in where we live, we have 75 fruit and nut trees. I just went out and harvested some figs. I mean, we can grow food. We can plant some seeds and grow food without any animal suffering. And it's a beautiful thing. And we can create communities of compassion and kindness and sustainability. There's nothing stopping us except these wrong ideas that this transhumanist high-tech path has any kind of hope for happiness. If we don't understand ourselves, if we don't know our true nature, science will make us even more disconnected. We need to find out who we are and what we are. And that's really the number one priority for all of us. It should be.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. And also on that, with the over 75 fruit and nut trees that you manage and take care of along with your spouse, Madeline. And if I'm correct, that's on less than a quarter of an acre?
Yes. Wow. Yeah, it's just a small amount of land. Yeah.
Yeah, so that shows just what could be transformed in society with everyone being able to do something like that.
It's true. You know, we've seen people online who live in a suburban lot, one-tenth of an acre, and they're getting 1,000, sometimes up to 5,000 pounds of food just off of a tenth of an acre every year. I mean, you can grow, it's beautiful. You can really grow a lot of food in a small area, and small local organic agriculture is a wonderful thing. Everybody can start to grow their own food, and we can become much more self-sufficient, self-reliant. And when we're that, when we're self-reliant, we're not going to be enslaved. We're not going to, we can't, we're going to have freedom. That's really a very important point.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. Thank you very much. What information can you share with our listeners for contacts?
Thank you. Well, I think the main thing, if you want to stay in touch, is to go online, probably to my name, Will Tuttle, willtuttle.com, or if it's easier to remember, worldpeacediet.com. Both of those go to the same place, and we have Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen, all of her wonderful cooking videos. We just did a new one today of her extra striding. I did one just a little while ago. That's another thing she does every day. So we'll have a video up on that too. But and our music videos and our lectures and our online training and our schedule of upcoming events and essays and the new book, like you mentioned, Food for Freedom, which is at the publisher right now, getting worked on and should be out hopefully by November this year. So we'd love to stay in touch with anyone. If you have any comments or questions, we're heading out in a few weeks, in early November, on a five-month lecture tour to the East Coast and to Florida, and making a big loop, so you can find out more about that. We really appreciate the work that so many people are doing to help raise awareness, and we love to cooperate and to work together in doing that. So thank you so much, Marlene.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Good. Well, good work you're doing, Marlene. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
And Madeline's right here. You want to say hi, Madeline?
Yeah.
Yeah, Madeline sends her love. She's back now. She was talking to her friend. But
hello, Marlene.
Hi, Madeline.
It's good to hear your voice, and I heard a little bit of the interview. It sounded all very good.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for all you do with your artwork and your music and, of course, your food forest, your organic, veganic food forest, and your Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen to help people to cook delicious, healthy, organic, vegan food.
Yes, yes,
right.
Important.
And then go out afterwards and exercise, extra stride.
Yeah, extra stride.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks, Marlene. I know you're busy, but it's always good to hear your voice and work together. So thanks. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. Joining us via Skype in Northern California. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management.
I may completely disagree with what you say, but I will defend to my death the right for you to say it.
I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. Join this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene wishing you a good day. the song we heard at the start of the program. It's called Treasure of My Life by Bada Haridas. From his album Gaura, Sharanam.